Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Inner Fight Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Marcus Smith. I am your host. And today I am joined by one of our longest serving members here at the gym. One of the most committed, is that the right thing to say? Or one of the people that has been committed to coming to Inner Fight for quite a long time. You have heard her voice before. If you go back to episode number 699, that was in 2021. You also heard her father's voice just a few months ago in episode 868, and also her brother's voice a few months ago in episode 874. She is a mother of three. She's raised three incredible children. And alongside that, she has done some fantastic things. As she talks about today, she learns almost what they learn. She has a PhD. She continues to learn. She's a self-declared eternal student. And if that's not enough to take a lot of her time up, or all of her time up, she has also run 99.2% of the streets of Dubai. Last time we had her on episode 699, we understood a little bit more about that, but it was a work in progress. Today, for the most part, we talk about being a mother. But of course, a big part of her motherhood over the last 6 years has been running every single street in Dubai, which is absolutely sensational. This week's show announcements. Well, last weekend was huge with the quarterfinals of the CrossFit season, the road to the CrossFit Games. Congratulations to everyone that participated. The guys here at the gym, I don't want to miss anyone, I won't. Krios, Ethan, Rosa, Vic, Holly, Sandro, Toby, Sarah. I think I've got them all. Should have made a note. Congratulations to those guys. Sarah obviously has progressed to the next level. She finished 22nd in Europe. Toby missed out narrowly, 66th. Sandro was 395th in his age category. He needed to be, I believe, to go to the next stage in the top 200. So he's just missed out there. Vic just missed out as well. Holly finished 96th. So she actually gets invited to go to the next level. Krios on the African level missed out by about 20 places. Rosa and Ethan, I'm just waiting to get the results, but it was a huge weekend. Thank you to everyone that came down. Congratulations to those guys. Not easy, four absolutely brutal workouts in across 5 days. But the emotional energy, as well as the physical energy to make all of that happen, is pretty major. So those guys did an excellent job. And more than that, the folks that supported them, that came down, that supported, that watched the workouts, that hung around, that helped out. Andy did an awesome job in making sure that all ran smoothly. We give them a massive round of applause. Some of them will go, as I said, to the semifinals. That is the next stage. I'll update you when that is coming. And for the rest of them, it's training as normal, or maybe a few weeks rest to get ready for their training to start again for the next CrossFit Games season. This weekend, myself, Tom, I'm also taking Holly, and my dad will be racing Xterra in Greece. Apparently you can watch this live if you really don't have anything to do on Saturday around lunchtime. I think we start at 10:45. 1.5K swim, 30K mountain bike ride, and a 10K trail run. If you're local or you're here in Dubai and you want to go for a run on Sunday in a race format, you can get involved in the Super Sports race. Go check that out, Premier Online. We have a few guys racing down there as well. If you're into running and your kids are also into running, then something that you might want to look at, we have some small group sessions for youngsters that want to run. Steph is running those on a Monday and a Wednesday. Give her a shout, sh@innerfight.com. 8-year-olds to 11-year-olds, 11-year-olds to 15-year-olds, Monday and Wednesday afternoons, helping the kids enjoy running a little bit more. And surprisingly, for a lot of you that don't really like running, you should listen to the show that I did a few weeks ago on why we hate running and actually why we shouldn't really hate running. A lot of the youngsters these days are really enjoying running, which is great. The youngsters are also enjoying our kids and teens class, which is in full flow since the spring break. These guys are back. There's a lot going on there. Give Bonnie a shout. Get the kids and the teens. I know there's not a lot of structured sport for this term, for the summer term. A lot of the clubs stop as the weather heats up. Bonnie keeps going Monday through Thursday in the afternoons and also on a Sunday morning. We have an absolutely packed program. If you are looking for something super specific, if you have a child who is in a sport and is trying to develop in that sport aggressively, such as rugby players, then the Inner Fight Academy might be something that you might want to look at. That program runs Monday through Friday as well, 4 p.m. with Jerome, jh@innerfight.com. If you are looking for your teenagers to get better at their sport, Jerome is running that program at the moment, and that program runs all through this summer term. That is it for this week's show announcements. Let's get into the show. This is episode number 898 of the Inner Fight Podcast. The running mum, Yasmin Salam. No matter where you are in the world, thanks for listening. Let's jump into today's show. Here we have number one. I was going to say number three, but you're actually number one. Yasmin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It feels like being home again.
Amazing. Always. We spoke, it's actually almost 3 years ago when I had you on the show, show 699. People need to go back to that one and they'll get a lot of context. 2021. Recently in show 868, we got to speak to your father, which I have to thank you. It was your idea. And then on the back of that, your father said we should speak to your brother, Timur. So Abu Timur and then Timur in show 874. It's a family affair.
It is. I also have my kids that come to Inner Fight. So maybe that should be the next. Have a junior come here and speak with quite some maturity.
I think Torab's obviously your eldest.
Yes.
He would have a lot of things interesting for us, wouldn't he?
Just yesterday he was saying, because we were working out together at home in a home type of environment, he was saying, you know, I've worked out all my life. And he was one of the first juniors that came to your program.
It's amazing. We've had your father's take on that, on sport and on family. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to get your take on it a little bit deeper. Maybe you'll contradict what your father said, which if he's listening, I'm already sorry. No, I'm sure you won't. But tell us about sport, your first memories of sport.
So my parents were very insisting that we should take upon many sports, multiple sports. Mm. So we did horseback riding and we did swimming and tennis and karate. And we went to camps and we did a lot of activities after school, which the school did not provide in the day. But I think in this new generation, at least in my own family, sport has even become a career. And my two boys have decided to make golf a very important part of their life and their education. So they are student athletes and one has accomplished and has been for 4 years in the United States and gotten a college degree with golf. And now Mir Wace is also going to, go to Ohio and play college golf. So
Can you remember, was it because your parents, not only they told you, but they showed you?
It was around us all the time. My parents were very active, always moving, but also the larger family on both sides, maternal and paternal. Golf runs in the family for generations in Lebanon. And my mother's family, they do all sorts of crazy sports, whether it's mountain climbing, biking, skiing, horse riding, endurance, kite surfing. Name the sport, we're very sportive.
Did you enjoy it as a child?
I didn't enjoy it as much as I do now. I've blossomed into it now as an adult. But I think my parents have actually given me the background in order to be able to flourish the way I did. And I think my daughter, who is more intellectual than her brothers, has that and has that potential in her because she's done triathlon and ballet. And so she really has that in her. She's integrated it into her lifestyle, but not the way her brothers have. But she has the potential.
What I'm trying to figure out for not only myself, but for a lot of people is if sport was forced or if we wanted to do it, what do you think? Like, did you force your kids? I'm going to ask you questions about motherhood today because I think we skipped that in the last show and you're an insane mother. What you've just sort of hit the tip of the iceberg there, but to what your boys and also what your daughter's done is crazy. But is it for, like, as a parent, are you forcing it or what are we trying to just lead the kids? How does it work?
There's a lot of equality and no hierarchy in my family. So we encourage each other and we push each other. And there's always somebody pulling somebody out of bed to get
pulling or kicking.
Literally. Let's go, alarms ringing, we all go, we all motivate each other, encourage and support each other. Mm. I still remember though at my first marathon, which was a Dubai marathon, my kids and brother and sister-in-law were there waiting for me and I had dragged the last 8 kilometers and when I got through the line, my kids jumped on me, not first in celebration, but they actually wanted my goodie bag. And my brother stood there, Taimur, and he screamed, "My sister has just ran 42 kilometers.
Wow.
You know, give her a break." I couldn't even move first marathon. but they were there, which is special.
And I think they've looked at you and everything that you've done. And like you say, it's since I've known you, early morning, not a problem. And I know you've already been up, you've gone and had a coffee somewhere and you love Dubai as a city in the morning. You've created this energy towards sport that it just seems like they've fed off it.
That's right. But I also give you some credit for the, I always say, you know, your inner fight is open at 5:30 in the morning. And that's something that's incredible when it comes to a business.
Yeah.
So the fact that we could wake up at 4:30 and we have somewhere to go and unleash our energy.
After people are thinking, why do we want to wake up at 4:30 and have anywhere to go? But yeah, that's true. It's funny. We ask people when we're interviewing coaches, you know, what time do you teach? And they're like, yeah, I teach super early. First class is at 6:30. I'm like, okay. We sort of sometimes I say something to them and other times and they say, yeah, I'm a real morning person, I like to be up by at least 6, and it's like, yeah, well, when you get here you'll already be at the gym by just after 5 because we have you know, at 5:30 classes is one of the busiest classes
and it's so nice to have the energy at that time of day. So
yeah, it is,
it was part and parcel of our, like, sure, I wake up alone even earlier to go on my runs because now it's going to get warmer and warmer. So sometimes it's a 5 a.m. or a 4:30 a.m. start. So
yeah,
depending on how long your run is, you don't want to be running after 7:30.
Well, that's true. What are your memories of waking the kids up early? Because I remember I have memories of them coming to when we were at the beach track in 2011, 2012. Some days they were happy. Some days, honestly, they were not super happy with you. I know that
they were working out before school.
Before school, yeah.
I mean, they barely had time to get the sand off.
I know. Was that plain sailing? There must have been resistance. They were young kids,
but they're golfers, and golfers have to wake up even earlier. Sometimes right. You're on that. You're at the range way before your tee time, and all through on their own, even without me.
Really?
Yeah. Golfers are morning people. Otherwise, you can't play golf. Those tee times, even the professional golfers have to be up super early.
So they've always been okay with early alarms. It's not like, no, mom, I don't want to do it. I want to stay in bed.
It's been a learning process.
How do you come through the challenges then? Because, I mean, if you hadn't have said it's a learning process, I would have kept digging. But sometimes it's hard, right, with kids. How have you, because they love it. You can see that they love it. And they've gone on to love it. And like you said, they're athlete students. How have you got through those harder times when they didn't want to wake up? Aside from the kicking.
I think I've been blessed with that. I'm the first one to wake up. When, you know, one turns on the lights, one feeds them, one tells them it will pass by and get a coffee or a juice or we'll have something after. You know, it's you just, we're together. It's a nice feeling.
You were always together. There was quite a strong bond. You have three children. How have you created that bond?
I think it's because I have the bond also with my siblings. So it's family cultures, and my parents have had their bonds with their own. So it's really just, it trickles down. It's a family culture.
Is it conscious?
Yes, because my grandfather said we are a chain and we're all a link. And if one link breaks, then the chain breaks. So we're always picking each other up. That's definitely a philosophy.
That's super cool. They must, because from what I can see, we're half on the inside, but we're still massively on the outside. We see you guys a lot, but we're still on the outside. You and Timor seem to have a very close relationship.
Oh, equivalent with Talal and equivalent with Amira. I could not.
Is it?
Absolutely.
There's not a favorite?
My love, no.
Come on, I want the dirt.
In fact, I could be more, I could tell Amira things that my brothers never know.
So is that because she's
a
female?
Sister. Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And then with my two brothers, there's different things we share together. So I share music with Taimur, whereas I share travel and other things with Talal. You know, Talal is now my neighbor. We live in the same building. So, and between Talal and I, we have 11 years.
Wow.
And you wouldn't feel it. Either I act younger or he acts older, but we're all exactly equivalent. Interchangeable.
And that's the programming of the subconscious, right? Because you guys were brought up like that. You were brought up in a time where that bond was even more important. Not that it's not important now, but we're a lot more distracted and we're a lot more fragmented. People live on the other sides of the world. Amira does.
Yeah, it does.
But it's just amazing how it's gone straight down into the next generation, and your kids are seem equally as
identically, yeah,
which is beautiful.
It is. And my daughter Sirat is the only granddaughter, so amongst the 10, she's the only girl. So she's assertive in that way with her brothers, but also with the entire family.
Is she treated special by Abu Timur?
She's treated special, but they're also strict with her in a certain way.
Really?
She's the girl. She carries the honor of the family.
That's crazy. I never thought about that. Everyone else has boys. You're the only one with a girl.
Yeah, I only have nephews.
That's crazy. And there's 10 of them total.
Total, yeah.
Something in the water in Jumeirah in those days. We have to go back to that. When you look at your mum as mother, as teacher, as friend, what do you see in her that you see in yourself as a mother?
My mother was a very strict and disciplined mom. So she always made sure we do the right thing, that we were not spoiled, nothing in excess. She's in fact the one who got us up in the morning and made sure that we do our studies rigorously. And my dad was the strict one, but my mom was the, and that's what I have replicated. However, my mom is more traditional than I am. So I have tried to change that in a way with my kids. As I said, there's no hierarchy in my household.
What do you mean that your mom's traditional and you're not so traditional?
I think my mom might not be as open-minded as I have learned to become.
Do you think that's generational though?
No, because she's different from her sisters.
No way.
She's the eldest. As I think I might be different from my sister or yeah. my daughter.
Yeah.
We're talking females here, so yeah. Or she's different from her mom. We all have our individuality. We have a family culture, but we don't imitate each other in any way, I think.
So discipline is number one that you took from your mom.
Yes.
What else did you take from your mom?
Kindness, of course, and maternal dedication. She didn't work. She was a mom at home the way I am. And maybe that's why I felt comfortable in this choice.
Mom at home is something that I guess in my mom's time and your mother, when she was bringing the four of you up, was super common. Nowadays, it's less common, I think, maybe because of we live in such an expensive city in Dubai and people have to, but also because people want to. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that females are more career driven now than they were before. I think they were, but I think it was just maybe a tradition. You've dedicated your life, or since I've known you, actually, I think sometimes when I think about what you do for your kids and the way that you take care of them, I think I'd rather just go and work a 9-to-5. Was that a conscious decision that you were going to stay, you were going to be this, stay at home mom? I mean, that's what it is, right?
Yes, because I think I'm a kingmaker in the sense that I want my children to be the best product, the best citizens, the best parents also. So I've really given each one of them, all three of them, equal attention and undivided attention. And also I think that I have a wealth of knowledge that I would like to share with them, and I'm constantly doing that. And this comes to intellectual knowledge, but also my athletic experience. And my athletic, mentality. We talk a lot about sports mentality. We do that a lot. We talk about our attitude on the tee box, our attitude while we play golf, while we run. We find things in common. So that's also...
That's not very normal. That's not commonplace, right? To have those conversations. From what I've seen, like I was talking to 30, 40 mums a few weeks back, and I asked them actually if they ever have conversation with their children on the way to athletics or something like that, sports, and how the kids are feeling on the way to the sport, and no one raised their hand.
Well, I don't want to be a tiger mom. So, and tiger in both meanings, Tiger Woods and tiger mom.
Yeah.
I don't want to put pressure on them. And sometimes they dismiss me and they say, oh, you know nothing about golf, mom. Yet I have a life experience. I've put two boys through golf. I've caddied more than anyone can imagine. I've carried those heavy bags. Literally.
Yeah.
So, and I've observed what they go through on the course, but also what preparation they need before, and how they feel after. It's so difficult to pick up a golf player after his tournament. Either it's complete silence in the car, or it's elation, and you know, so both ways, because they're very critical of themselves, no matter what.
Where does that come from?
Personality. In both, Torab and Mirwais deal differently with their ups and downs in sports and golf specifically. And they've evolved also with age, with maturity. But at this young age, being a golf mom has been challenging, I would say. And so we're all reading the inner game of golf and tennis and the... And also I tell them about how my resilience and my dedication in, like, because I've done ultra marathons and I've been through difficult moments as well. So I definitely tell them about it, and it all comes into family culture. We talk sports a lot.
One thing that I used to see a lot. I obviously don't see it so much because the kids are older now and they don't need this. But I used to watch you do homework with them, spellings with them, full focus. Yes. It was almost at some stage like you were the student, like you were so deep into it, which is a quality that I just admire insanely. How do you get the drive and the passion? Because on the flip side, these days, I see a lot of parents that literally, here's the iPad, go and do what you want to do. And I'm probably not making many friends here, but like there's two ends of the spectrum. You were just so all in to help these kids doing their spellings, learning about it, like you mentioned before. You must have loved it.
I still love it. And I still help at the university level because I have a doctorate, so I could be a professor. I'm an eternal student, that's one. And I've become a very good tutor. In my role as a kingmaker, I have tutored princes and princess and my nephews. So this year, Mirwais has done scientific maths, which I have never studied in my life. So when he goes to school, I open up these math books. I learn the lesson myself. I do all the exercises so that when he comes home, I can actually tutor it to him.
Wow.
So this year's achievement for me has I have reached the level in mathematics of a scientific mathematics. I'm really proud of that. That's my achievement this year.
That's incredible. Where does that come from?
It's a training and a workout of the mind. Mathematics, the end result, is the same endorphins that you get when you're at the gym at the end when you're collapsed on the floor because you've resolved your problem.
But it'd be so much easier to drop the kids to school and give them a tutor, go and have coffee with friends, relax, go and buy some new Lululemon that you don't need and just repeat the cycle. Why didn't you choose that?
It's this quest. I'm always looking for a finish line. And I think that this is part of my personality. And that's why I'm always aiming for the next race. Again, not for racing, but actually for the process of training for the race. I always insist on that's really what makes me happy, is the process of learning, of training, of getting stronger, picking up heavier weights. That's really my satisfaction.
That's amazing. I want to jump back to the conversations with kids around, I think you touched on it before a little bit, around visualization on the golf course, trying to pick them up afterwards. One of the biggest blockages I see to parents being able to have those conversations is actually starting the conversation itself. So by that, I mean, you're driving a kid to sport and the parent says, how are you feeling about it? The kid's like, fine. And they just sort of carry on. How do you start to open up the child to talk about, okay, in 30 minutes time, we're going to be on the tee box. How's that going to feel?
So, you know, we're competitors. You go racing and you know that energy, that electric energy that's before the race. Personally, I don't like to talk to anybody before a race. I don't smile at anybody before. Like I get so nervous. I'm really, really in my zone. And I have seen even Olympic swimmers, they always come with music in their ears. Like just right before they get into the water, they remove the music, you know, they take their eye and they get into the water. And so I don't really talk to them on the way. And when I pick them up, I can guess from the phone call where it's like, mom, I'm ready. I can guess from the tone whether we're going to talk golf for the next first 10 minutes or not. But again, I insist on the training. It's when I take them to the golf course on a regular day, because someone like Mirwais goes daily to golf. There's not a day he doesn't go to golf for practice. And I talk about how was practice. That's more important. It's more during his practice rounds that we talk about, so what was your putting like? Because that's when he can open up. Because deep down, the performance of during a tournament, I'm usually very proud of. So whether he's, you know, whatever ranking he came in or not, it doesn't matter because it's a long process. And, you know, it's going to be a long career ahead.
It's not always just one particular tournament. We can get quite down on ourselves if one run goes wrong or one tournament goes wrong. But like you said there, it's probably, if we zoom out a little bit, the world's not too bad because he's played golf 5 times in the last 6 days. And everything's going good. He just didn't do it well today. And tomorrow he might be great again.
Yeah, and he'll learn from his mistakes and he'll learn from his experiences and he'll learn from his own anger management or his own... Sometimes also when you play too well, you lose it. You choke. The word is to choke. You choke towards the end because you're going too aggressive towards the end because you're too confident or...
But those conversations, free-flowing conversations with adolescents these days seem, I think, a little bit harder to have. But you've managed to constantly cultivate that kind of conversation within all of your kids.
Yeah, I think every parent thinks that his kids are very open to them and that they're not hiding anything or thing. So the same goes with my parents. I was quite close and I confessed a lot and I told them about my stories, about everything, emotional stories and all, but I also kept a lot to myself, and that's how you grow. And I think I respect that side with my kids. So what they don't want to tell me, I don't intrude on. I just want them to know that I'm there for them. But it's not an easy task. And in fact, I think that some parents, they're too involved in their kids' lives. And so I see all the champions with their parents still there. So let's say there is the tennis player, Tsitsipas. His father, I think, is way too much of a father figure, always standing there screaming from the bleachers. You know, you have to give your kids, your daughter, your son, the time to shine on their own. You have to kind of cut the umbilical cord and say, you know, I've supported you, I'm always here, but, you know, I don't necessarily have to put pressure on you.
Do you ever think, it's a great example, and there's a number of different examples. I mean, Tiger Woods, who you mentioned before, staying on the golf theme, we've seen various bits of information about how his father treated him when he was younger. Whilst I'm with you that maybe it's not the way for everyone, do you think it's the way for some people?
I think that some parents put too much focus on the sport that their son or daughter play in, especially if that child is very talented. I always remind my children that there are academics as well, and there's life. Yeah. They have to also enjoy themselves. They have to go with their friends. They have to have really, they have to divide with their family. So it's a balance more than obsession with anything.
Straight up then, do you think if Tiger Woods' father hadn't have been like he's portrayed to be, and we only know what we see, do you think Tiger Woods would have been as good as he was or is?
I definitely credit his family for his performance, and the same goes with Rory. Rory, he says, my parents are the first people that I have to thank. They're he's constantly thanking his parents. However, I think that I have to give them space. And yeah, that's as much as it's a question of balance again.
It is tricky, isn't it? Because I think a lot about, I mean, Tiger Woods is a great example, really, because did he have his meltdown because of how he was treated earlier? Or
the rest of his life wasn't balanced.
Yeah. But then would he have won everything he won if he was in balance, if he was doing what you said, if he was, because we have limited time, we have limited energy. So if Tiger Woods and any great athlete is just drilled with their sport for since they can remember, then all of their energy goes into that. It's not really a surprise that they get good. Whereas if he was pushed in academia as well and then told to go out and have a life and chase chicks when he's 12, 13 years old, then what could have happened to his golf? Would he have been what he was?
Tiger Woods is the ultimate. And what he did was, is he sacrificed a lot. And I don't want my kids to pay the price of that sacrifice. I'm willing for them to be excellent players, but not maybe the best. However, they've done their own sacrifices. So, for example, when Mirwais was faced with applying to universities, he had the choice of either applying only to an academic school with a higher name, so applying to the Ivy Leagues or to the UC schools, which only take the top, top, top golfers, which he wouldn't have reached, or to do exactly what he wants. And so we had a side of the family that said, well, what if he stops playing golf? What if he, why are you sacrificing his academics to his golf? And I said, his golf is his life. And this is his, and the same goes for Turab. This is where they excel. They are students. They're not going to be partying at school. They're going to be going to tournaments. They're going to be traveling the United States. The program that they have selected and the scholarships that they have received because of all these years of sacrifice in golf have reached this. This is the ultimate for them. And then later in life, when they go into a career, whereas, for example, Turab didn't necessarily go into a golf career. He's not on the PGA. But he's in a sector of industry where he's happy because it's linked to golf. And also, his employers know that they can count on him because he has the attributes of an athlete. As in, he's dependable, he wakes up early, he's dedicated, he's... disciplined, which others, you know, it's a personality.
What I'm hearing is there's only going to be a small percentage of Tiger Woods. So the key is to be a bit realistic with that. And like you said, they're not on the PGA. Right. My sons are great and my daughter's great at sport. The boys are great at golf, but they're not playing on the PGA. The chances are... the academia and life skills are actually pretty important to them. So let's make sure we put equal focus, and that's where balance is coming from.
Yes, exactly. And that will lead them into a life, choices and also a lifestyle. And then all three kids of mine have decided that they are going to bring up their kids in sport. And I mean, I couldn't have put my kids earlier in golf because they started at age 4.
The clubs are too tall for them.
Those cute US golf clubs. But they're going to do it maybe slightly different in their focus because they have the experience. Mm. I came into this new.
A child's identity in this case is probably skewed a little bit, especially at the earlier ages or the teen years that they've passed through. Potentially a child's identity is skewed towards, I'm a golfer. Because everyone says, what are you? And we want this form of identity. And whilst they are academic, their main focus is golf. Do you ever think where they'll end up? Like, I've watched them grow for the last sort of 13 years, which has been, it's surreal a lot of the time, I have to be honest. Like, you see them pretty much every day. I remember when, I guess when Turab kind of, you know, became a man and like hadn't seen him for 3 years, and the next minute he walks in with his beard and I'm just like, I literally, you have to pause because it's life, it happens. Where are they if I don't see them for 10 years? Does golf still play a role? Do you ever think that, or are you in the present?
So if we're talking about golf specifically, all three kids play golf. Mm. And golf is a is a game that people think is for seniors. So I definitely think that at age 70 or 80, they'll still be playing golf, even my daughter, because we'll all resort to golf. In fact, I'm thinking of picking up golf again now that I'll have more time on my hands.
Amazing.
So golf, definitely. But I think that the way you were talking about how my parents brought me up and how I'm at inner fight now. I think that's the ultimate. Mm. I think that who would have thought that the lazy girl that my parents always said, come on, get up, move, walk, let's go, is actually running ultra marathons and running every single street of Dubai.
Let's go into that, because I mean, it's we spoke a lot about it in show 699. It's another 3 years on of what, correct me, is so far been a 6 year project. Give us a lowdown for those that didn't listen to 699. Give us a lowdown on what this project is all about.
I have ran 99.2% of the entire Emirate of Dubai, every single street. When people to say that I've ran every single street, they're like, oh, how cute. Does that mean that you've run in my community? Or does that mean that you've run at the beach? Or have you run, you know, near Burj Khalifa? No, every single street, industrial, desert, every community. I always tease people who live in these large communities that they have not ran their entire community streets. So how about, I always encourage, I say, just start running your own community, every street in your community, because I have gone through Barsha South, Barsha North, Barsha, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, Jumeirah, 1, 2, 3, 4, Jabal Ali Industrial, Jabal Ali Ports, Jabal, I mean, name it, name the area in Dubai, Al-Warqa, Al-Nahda, Merdif, Mishrif, I know all the regions. I have ran every single street. So that's the incredible part.
It is quite.
And I ran it at a time when Dubai was growing exponentially. Now it's slowed down. And that's why I'm at 99.2. Because I just 0.8 are the new streets that I have not ran and the few streets on the palm that I have saved for my celebration to culminate.
How do you track it?
So I have a, what is it? An app. It's called City Strides, an amazing app that has developed in 6 years.
Because of you?
No, because so many other people in the world have ran all the other streets and in their cities, in different continents. And now you can follow them on social media. They're actually going city by city. How many people have ran Boston? How many people have ran Sydney? How many people Paris? And not just big cities, also towns and... No, it's really nice. We're a huge community online. But I'm the only one who has stuck to the goal of running Dubai. And I'm a female, and I'm 53. So that makes it special. But I think I have an advantage, and that is that I grew up in Dubai since I was 5. I know this emirate. And I love this emirate, so I have the motivation to go out there. I have the motivation to mix with all types of people, all types of social classes, but all types of nationalities as well. I'm not intimidated to go anywhere, whether it's in desert farms or in workers' labor camps or in gated communities, because some people are intimidated to go into the communities, they're like, what will I tell the guards if I have to go through the gates? Mm. You know, I push myself into areas and I feel comfortable. I feel comfortable with people staring at me. In fact, it's an act of friendship because they're like, wow, what's this person doing in my neck of the woods? You know, people don't run here. Mm. So it's nice to mix. It's a human experience. And in 6 years, I have acquired a knowledge unparalleled. it's an urban knowledge in the sense that I understand about civil engineering now. I know how streets are built. I've seen streets being built. I know how communities are designed, how they decide to build hospitals and schools, and how they decide to build shopping centers and industrial depots, and how the farming has developed in Dubai, and how tourism has developed. I've seen the entire city from the roots being built and in the development between 2018 and 2024, which Dubai needs a time lapse to show that. And more interesting is that I keep going back to neighborhoods now that I've completed everything, a bit through nostalgia. I go to the ones I've liked the most, and I see so much change, so much, as in now the buildings that I never thought would be inhabited are actually inhabited, and the parks are blooming, and the trees have grown, and it's an incredible thing is to see something develop in 6 years.
It's not a short period of time. Some people work a lifetime to achieve a goal, for sure. They might set out from university to become a partner in a law firm by the time they're 45, and if that's you, sorry. But it's for an athletic goal, it's a long time. It's 6 years. Most people are like, what am I going to do this year? Or we've got 6 months, I'll enter a race, I'll enter a marathon or an ultra. How do you stay motivated? Especially when you're talking there, I was like, that must be, for some people, the thought of, I'm trying to run every street, but I run down one street and I see they're suddenly building another. It's like an infinite game that you're running. You're like, guys, please stop building these roads. I want to complete this project. But how do you stay focused? How do you stay motivated for a goal that there was really, I mean, you never knew how long it would take.
The motivation comes from my love for this place. Deep down, Dubai and I say I'm the face of my city. Mm. Or maybe Dubai's my heart. Literally, when I look at my map, I feel like my streets are arteries and veins. It's a very organic feel, and also curiosity. I want to see what's new or what's old. I like to discover the old Dubai, if old it is, you know. Mm. I like to find the most authentic rather than the superficial. I want to debunk myths. I don't want people to think that Dubai is a superficial Las Vegas. Because Las Vegas isn't superficial either. You know, people lead lives here. And I always honor places that people work, places that people plant, places that people live. No industrial area, no boring community with 1,000 homes is boring enough for me, because that's where people have chosen to live. This is their daily. And waking up in the morning, because I'm a very early riser and I love sunrise. It's a celebration almost each time. I have seen more beautiful sunrises in Ras El Khor Industrial or Alcoz Industrial. I started Alcoz first because that was the scariest. But I have seen the nicest sunrises there against a background of, workers' homes with people on bikes heading to work, than anybody would see in Al Qudra, which I've ran as well. You know, it's the variety that has impressed me the most.
You've mentioned a couple of times safety, and sadly, being a woman, sometimes in these areas that are not just here in Dubai, in a number of parts of the world, can be male dominated. How have you navigated the safety aspect?
Well, safety, every sports person on a bicycle or running, first of all, safety is wearing the proper clothing. And by proper clothing, I say colorful clothing, one, so that you can be seen by cars. Because a lot of people tell me, oh, but there are trucks there. There's no sidewalks. How do you run? So that's first, safety. Mm. Second of all, male dominated. I dress properly. I'm not in shorts and in a tank top like today. I wear long sleeves. I dress properly. I put on a good attitude on my face. And I make sure that I have checked out where I'm going. It's all planned. There's police usually everywhere. I have a phone in my hand. If I feel unsafe, I just head back to my car. I always have it. I have my car on location, so I will never get lost properly. So unless I lose battery, which has happened.
So for the most part, you felt safe.
Yes, and we're fortunate in Dubai.
We are.
With safety.
We are.
Now, maybe with larger demographics and a different type of demographics, things are changing, but still, I am safe. I might have felt safer 5 years ago than I feel today because of the demographics, because it's becoming literally an urban, like it is a megalopolis. Dubai is, and that's also what I feel, I'm so fortunate because Dubai is really on the map. Everybody knows where Dubai is. Well, guess what? I know Dubai inside out.
You do. Any running route in Dubai, anyone wants to know, they should look you up. So where does it go now? It's something that you've been working on for 6 years. You've also been doing all the things as a mother, as we spoke about. Sadly, the kids are, I won't break your heart and say they've left the nest, but they're kind of moving away from the nest, yes. Which is, you did the same to your parents, is part of life. Are we coming to the end of one chapter? Are we starting a new chapter? Where do we feel we're at with running, with life goals, with life?
So I have a Swiss nationality and I'm heading to Switzerland. Switzerland with all the trails and mountains and lakes. So definitely I will have a lot of purple to cover in my country. I will always be coming back to Dubai. Dubai is home. Dubai is heart. And when I come back, I will be running my streets according to whichever ones I like the most. And if I stop running, I'll walk them or I'll bike them. But I will always be an outdoor person, I think. I'll pick up golf. I'll play the golf courses that I've caddied so far.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll improve my handicap from 36 to something better.
Just improve your counting.
At least I know the game of golf well.
You do.
And also I will start focusing more on my own knowledge, on writing down my thoughts, on writing a book maybe, whether it's a fiction book, whether it is about every single street in Dubai. Participating in talks and discussions about Dubai, about its happiness, because happiness is always the first goal. And I think that my project was a very happy project.
I couldn't agree more. I've watched you through the years, and the energy and the happiness, and even how you spoke about it today, it's brought you a lot of joy.
Yeah, it's definitely those endorphins that I get when it's sunrise or sunset, because I used to run a lot during iftars as well. When I was fasting during Ramadan, I would run at iftar time with all the taraweeh going on and the calls to prayer. And so it's really a sort of zen and a feeling of attachment to this place. The roots are very deep.
They are. It's amazing. You labeled yourself as an eternal student. I think that goes far deeper than what people might think of as studying experiences. It surrounds you, right? It's in everything.
Yes, and in all fields, whether it's mathematics, whether it's literature, philosophy, whether it's in war studies, which my daughter is studying. Wow. And which, by the way, I'm very proud that she has surpassed me, because she's gone into a field so specialized that she's teaching me things now. So maybe now is my time to receive from my children,
and to be the same ultimate way, eternal student,
the same way as I have given my parents in return.
Amazing. Yaz, I'm so appreciative. It's always, whenever you come to see us, it's incredible. 5:30 in the morning, or a little bit 9:30 this morning when we're all a little bit more awake. Or I think we're actually quite awake at 5:30, but the energy that you bring and through all the family, it's we appreciate you guys, and we hope that you'll do what you said and be back a lot. But I want to wish you the best from me and from everyone within the community. It's been a long time. I don't see you as leaving. I just see you as going somewhere else, and you'll still be here.
And please, this is my opportunity. I'm wearing the colors. I wore pink deliberately.
But amazing.
I want to say the inner fight, as a mentality, a philosophy, show no weakness, for 15 years has been my last university.
Wow.
I mean, up there with Harvard.
Amazing.
I might be a Harvard grad, but I'm also an Inner Fight grad.
I appreciate it. That's unbelievable. Thank you so much.